Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word tonight, the fifth Wednesday in the season of Lent, is the psalm for this upcoming Sunday, fifth Sunday in Lent, Psalm 43. Our collect is the one that we've been following throughout the Lenten season, the collects of the day. And I'm going to ask you if you would pray that together with me, if you look on the back of your bulletin. Let's pray together. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, this coming Sunday in the season of Lent, the fifth Sunday in Lent, has a name, as do all the Sundays in Lent. It's called Judica Sunday. Starts with a J, but no J sound in Latin, so Judica Sunday. From the Latin of Psalm 43, the very first verse, Judica me Deus, judge me, O God. Now, if you look further back beyond the Latin translation, go way back to the original Hebrew language, you could take the first verse of tonight's psalm, Psalm 43, and translate it this way. Render a verdict for me, O God, and take up my case against an ungodly people. Take up my case, or maybe we would say nowadays, take my case. Who do you ask to take your case? A lawyer. And if you have to hire a lawyer, you know that things are getting pretty bad. I need to hire a lawyer. You got to bring in the lawyers. And things can get pretty bad. We see that in the psalm for tonight. The psalm writer, he says, lives among ungodly people. A word made up of two words, un and godly. In other words, there is no God or Lord in the picture. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They are ungoverned by the Lord. The psalm writer is confronted with treacherous people. You don't entrust yourself to them because they will flip on you at the drop of a hat. The psalm writer is faced with unjust people. In the original language, it means those who are perverse or warped in their thinking. The psalm writer has to take refuge. The psalm writer feels like his life is just one continual mourning, like at a funeral, because of the oppression of those who are hostile toward him. No joy, no happiness, just endless mourning. The psalm writer, he says, is oppressed by enemies. And so what does he do? He calls for a lawyer. Not a human lawyer, but he calls for the Lord. And you know things are getting pretty bad when you have to call in the Lord like a lawyer or like a judge. And he says, Lord, take my case. Lord, render your verdict for me. St. Paul in the New Testament understood such things. St. Paul preached like the other apostles did and like faithful preachers have throughout the centuries. He preached, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is the Christian message. But Jesus tells us, not only to be pure as doves, but also what? You know the verse? But be as wise as snakes or serpents. Yeah, be as wise as snakes, but be as pure as doves. Be as pure as doves. God so loved the world God loves all people. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But there's not only John chapter 3, there's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where St. Paul says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked men." I think Paul is practically quoting Psalm 43 there. "That we may be delivered from perverse and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one." Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And so our collect, or appointed prayer for this coming Sunday: Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that's us, God's Christian people, look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We pray to be preserved, to be preserved by the Lord in body and soul. We pray that the Lord will take our case. We pray that the Lord will render a verdict for us. It's all true, because not all have faith. But as you hear that, and as you say that, don't forget the one important word in the prayer that comes together with preserved. What do we pray for? We pray that we are preserved, and what also? That we are governed. Governed. And there is a recognition there that not all of the sin in the world comes from somewhere out there, or from that person sitting over there, that one over there. You know their kind, how they are. That's where the sin is coming from. That's what our world says. The sin is coming from there and there and there and there and there. And a Christian person says, "Yeah, that's true, but I've made my own contributions to the sin of this world. I've made my own contributions." And if you doubt that, then ask yourself, why do we have the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments themselves are a proof that the sin in the world is not just in somebody else, but it's also in you, and it's also in me. Why would they be needed if we were not sinful people? And so the confessions, the Lutheran confessions, the confessions of our church that form the basis for our beliefs based on God's holy word, they say this: since the fall of mankind, human nature is condemned, for although it is God's creation, it has been poisoned and it has been corrupted by sin. And that being the case for those people out there and those people over there, and that being the case also for you and the case also for me, what do you do? Well, daily you ask the Lord to pardon you. As a child of God, you remember your baptism, that despite being a sinner, God still wrote his name on me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and he still claimed me for his own. You look to the Lord's promises in his holy word because they apply to his children. You receive his body and blood in Holy Communion for the assurance of your faith that you are pardoned by the Lord. You do ask the Lord to preserve you. You do ask the Lord to render a verdict for you. You do ask the Lord to take your case. "Lord, please take my case." But together with all of that, you also ask the Lord to govern you. To govern you so that you are not the source of sin, so that you are not the cause of somebody else stumbling, so that you would honor the Lord by your attitudes and your actions, so that the Lord would be glorified and other people might be drawn to him and say, "You know what, maybe I need the Lord Jesus too. the Lord Jesus does make a difference in a person's life. And so what do we pray? We say, yes, Lord, preserve us by all means. Not all have faith. We live in a world that's hostile to our faith, but as you are preserving us, also govern us. Govern me, dear Lord. Send out your light and your truth. I like those words. We sang them in choir. It was the first time I really paid attention to them. Send out your light and your truth. What does that mean? So you're saying, God, send out a rescue party because I'm lost without you. Send out your light and truth. Otherwise, I go wrong. I get lost. I bring dishonor to you. But let your light and your truth lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. Let them bring me to your dwelling. Dear Lord, Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look on your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.